ABC Radio Australia.
Well, Papua New Guinea is heading towards a national election next year, and there are warnings the integrity of the vote could be at risk. The latest Corruption Perceptions Index saw PNG's score drop to 26 out of 100, and raising fresh concerns about corruption and declining trust in government institutions. So, what does this mean for the Pacific's largest country with a crucial election just around the corner? Joining us this morning is the Chief Executive Officer of Transparency International, PNG, Ariane Kasman. With that, I say good morning, Ariane, and welcome to Pacific Beat.
Good morning, Aggie. Thank you for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Well, Ariane, PNG's score, as you would have known, has dropped again in the latest Corruption Perceptions Index. How concerning is this result?
Yeah, look, it's unfortunate that this year we have dropped 4 points. And what we are unfortunately seeing is an observed pattern since 2012. When scoring started for Papua New Guinea of the CPI cycle. So improvements are made, and then we seem to be dropping during election year every 5 years. So it is a concerning trend for PNG. For the 2025 CPI, what we did see is that PNG had an additional source. So 6 of the 13 sources were used to calculate the corruption perceptions index score for Papua New Guinea. But again, just extremely concerning as we are only 17 months away from the 2027 national general elections.
Yeah, and as you say, it's sort of been dropping since 2012. I mean, but when we look at it now in 2026, in practical terms, what does that score tell us about just corruption itself in PNG right now?
Look, while there are efforts to try to look at addressing corruption, our biggest challenge is really look at the enforcement of existing laws, enforcement of, right across our land. And it's not just looking at the space of elections. It's also concerning when we look at the upcoming FATF grey listing as well. So I think for Papua New Guinea, it is really time for government to be serious about how we protect our integrity institutions and make sure that they are strong enough to fight or address corruption here in the country.
And I know you mentioned a little bit in regards to, where it seems to maybe just dip when it's sort of heading into a national election year. But is there anything you can really say, particularly, what is it risky for public institutions during this period?
Look, I think it's always difficult. What we're seeing overall globally for the CPI, there is an observed trend that democracies tend to have less corruption. Strong democracies tend to have less corruption and vice versa. Democracy is weaker in countries with more corruption. And so the risks there for us are that, if we don't take action, if we're not enforcing laws, if we're not ensuring that people are held to account and that people are prosecuted for acts of corruption, we are going to see a continued deterioration of our CPI score.
Ariane, when we talk about transparency, they had actually warned similar issues emerged during the last election. So then what impact did that have on the integrity of the vote?
I think for the 2022 elections, there was a lot of discussion around what needed to be done, but not enough action was taken. Then we saw the 2022 elections happen, and unfortunately, again, by far one of the worst elections we have seen for the country. And so there was an immediate action taken by government to put in place a parliamentary committee, look at how we could address some of the reforms that needed to be put forward. Unfortunately, that parliamentary committee, when they had submitted their report to parliament, had not gotten their report adopted. And so no reforms had been taken up. And so we're stuck in a situation where potentially there could be rushed reform before the elections, which again just poses greater risks for a country like ours. And so focus really needs to be on making sure that the electoral roll is updated in preparation for 2027 national general elections, making sure that the Electoral Commission is properly funded and supported to be able to carry out the pre-election preparation, and just making sure that especially law enforcement agencies, those that are needed to work together to address the election preparedness, are also effectively nationally coordinating together, and also budgetary support is provided for them as well. So there are steps that we can take to actually help to improve the integrity of our elections, but the work actually has to start now.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, is there still time for the government and authorities to act, and what concrete steps needs to happen right before polling day?
Yeah, look, there is time. First of all, making sure that there is a permanent appointment of the electoral commissioner so that the work can really take place. So make sure it's implemented. The plan of the PNG Electoral Commission is implemented this year. Secondly, would be making sure they fund the role update and making sure that it's transparent. So Electoral Commission will have to make sure that it's displayed as per the law and that people are able to update the electoral roll, check their names if they've moved. And then third, it's really looking at national coordination. There is a body called the Interdepartmental Elections Committee that's chaired by the Chief Secretary. They've already started their regular meetings. So just making sure that everyone that's supposed to be at that meeting is participating and is making sure that they are providing regular updates to strengthen our election preparedness. And then lastly, more importantly, like anything else, there is funding that is required. So annual budgetary support must be given to electoral commission agencies involved in election preparedness, including our law enforcement agencies such as the police, defense force, and the correctional service.
Nice. Thank you for that. Irene, I just want to switch to the actual, you know, CPI, the Corruption Perceptions Index. How is that actually, if you don't mind briefly telling us, how does it actually calculate it?
The Corruption Perceptions Index is a composite index, so it combines a number of surveys and assessments of corruption that's collected by a number of reputable institutions. So for the 2025 Corruption Perceptions Index, there were about 13 sources that were used to calculate this score or composite index. The CPI scores and ranks countries and territories based on how corrupt their public sector is perceived to be. So a country score indicates that perceived level of public sector corruption, where zero means that a country is perceived as highly corrupt, and 100 means that a country is perceived as very clean. So this year, there were about 182 countries and territories that appeared on the Corruption Perceptions Index, and they were all ranked according to their perceived level of public sector corruption.
And your taking, how reliable is it though?
Look, it is a perception survey. It's important for all of us to also understand that it is a perceived level of how corrupt a country's public sector is, but it is put together by experts and business executives. So these are people that go into countries and do business with a country, but that are also experts in various fields. So, you know, while it is a perception, I think it's important for all of us to take note of how our countries are being assessed, not just for Papua New Guinea, but also for the Pacific, and what we can do actively as citizens, as civil society, even as private sector, to strengthen the work of this addressing corruption, strengthen governance, strengthen integrity of our institutions, so that we are a better region for working with others in the globe.
And with that, though, Ariane, I understand, does the government actually really engage with these findings? And if not, do you know why?
For Papua New Guinea, they do. So yesterday, we were able to hear an address from the Chief Secretary and also the Electoral Commissioner. Our government for Papua New Guinea has always responded and reacted to the scores. There is work that has been done through the National Anti-Corruption Strategy Task Force. But again, this challenge of enforcement is something that we as a country are still trying to grapple with. And so really the focus, and I think that this is something that government has said they will prioritize, is really on trying to ensure that we look at our existing laws. We make sure that we strengthen the law enforcement agencies, but we also strengthen all our integrity institutions to be able to do what they're mandated to do. So this might be the Auditor General's Office being able to do their annual audits, the Public Prosecutor's Office being able to do their work as well, and even the Ombudsman Commission being properly funded to be able to carry out its investigations as well.
Ariane, thank you so much for joining us this morning, really being able to sort of give us a bit of insight and breaking that down for us. But again, I just want to say thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Aggie, and thank you to all our listeners.
No worries. That is Chief Executive Officer of Transparency International PNG, Ariane Guzman.